Thank you. Please do sit down. I want to read to you a few verses from the Bible. And this is where Paul is talking about his suffering. The Apostle Paul is talking to the church at Corinth about his suffering. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We saw the shark there causing trouble for the surf savers. And Paul is writing to the church because people are saying, oh, you're not a very good leader, you're not a very good apostle. And he's writing and saying, do you know how much trouble I've put up with in order to serve Jesus? And this is what he says. He says, the other people are moaning about me, but this is the truth. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and exposed to death time and time again. 5 times I've received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from Gentiles, in danger from my fellow countrymen, in danger in the city, and in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and I've toiled and I've gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and often been without food. I've been cold and naked. And besides everything else, I face the daily pressures of my concern for the church. Who is weak, and I do not feel weak? Paul is saying, you know, I've gone through so much. I've gone so far for the sake of Jesus. And I want to just ask a question. How far are we willing to go for Jesus? But first of all, I need to talk to some of the older folk and some of the folk near the back of the church. Who remembers the winter of 1962? How many people remember the winter of 1962? Let me just help jog your memory now. Thinking back to 1962, I know it seems like ancient history, okay? But some of us, or some people do, not me, some people do remember it. Let me just jog your memory. 1962, that was when Ringo Starr joined the Beatles. It was when the Rolling Stones had their first record out. It was the year that Marilyn Monroe died. It was the year of the Cuban Missile Crisis. And many people remember how scary that was. The Cold War was going on between the East and the West. Some people remember 12 folk escaping from East Germany by coming through a tunnel. Anybody remember that? Remember the news about that? They dug a tunnel to get from East Germany to West Germany. Telstar was launched, the first satellite. Remember Telstar? Did anybody actually tune into Telstar and listen to the beep? No? Yes, John did. Yeah. 1962. Who remembers, though, particularly the winter of 1962? It was a hard winter, wasn't it? It snowed. Now then, young people, let me talk to you for a minute now. It snowed in November, and it didn't thaw until the end of March. It was a really, really hard winter. If we think we've had a hard winter this year, that was a really hard winter, the winter of 1962 to 1963. My mum and dad, that winter, were in North Germany. My dad was with the forces. He was posted to Germany, to the plains of North Germany. And as you can imagine, if the winter was bad here, then it was really bad there, up on the plains of Germany. The snow was really deep. The snow was taller than the cars. And each day the snow plows would go along and blow it out higher and higher. But the snow was deeper than people. People were walking along tunnels along the roads because the snow was so deep. And my mum and dad were living there in North Germany. And my mum was expecting a baby. Me. And it was a really cold winter, and my mum was pregnant. And as you probably know, sometimes when people are expecting babies, they have strange cravings. They want to eat odd things. And my mum had 2 things that she wanted to eat more than anything else. The first was Mars bars. My mum ate so many Mars bars that they thought that when I was born, I was going to be the colour of a Mars bar. She just ate Mars bars all the way through the time that she was expecting me. But the other thing that she really fancied all the time, that was really a bit strange in those days, was Kentucky Fried Chicken. Now, there wasn't any Kentucky Fried Chicken really in Britain at that time, but the camp where my mum and dad were posted was shared half with the British and half with the Americans. And on the American side of the base was a Kentucky Fried Chicken shop. And my mum used to really crave after Kentucky Fried Chicken when she was pregnant. Well, December 1962, midnight, my mum rolls over and she pokes my dad in the side and says, "Honey, I can't sleep. The baby keeps kicking. I can't get comfortable and I really want some Kentucky Fried Chicken." Well, my dad said, "Are you mad, woman? It's midnight. The snow outside is 6 foot deep. There's ice on the ground. The wind is..." I'm guessing this is what he said. "The wind. The wind is blowing. Are you mad?" And she said, "I don't think I'll be able to get to sleep until I've had some Kentucky Fried Chicken." So my dad got up, put his uniform on, went out, started the car, at 5 miles an hour made his way all around the outside of the airbase, all around the British side with the lights off and everybody being very serious, around the American side with their rock and roll music and the lights on and the Kentucky Fried Chicken open at midnight, and he went and he bought a box of Kentucky Fried Chicken and chips, put it in the car and got back in the snow and drove all the way back around in the snow and brought it back to my mum and brought it in and gave it to her. Do you know what she said? "Do you know what I really fancy now? It's a Mars bar." See, my dad, they were newly married at the time, they'd only been married a year. My dad was really in love with mum and he was willing to go out in that terrible conditions and drive all the way around the town and all the way around the camp to get the American side to go and get some Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's how far he was willing to go to show my mum how much he loved her. Now, my dad's not a very demonstrative bloke. He's not very romantic at all. Those of you who have met my parents will know that my dad is a sort of a serious bloke. And being romantic and big romantic gestures are not really in his nature. In fact, when they were first married, my mum's first birthday, he bought her a birthday card and on it he wrote, "Dear Julie, happy birthday, I love you very much, Pat." And he gave her this birthday card. Well, it came around to her second birthday after they were married and there was no birthday card, no presents, no flowers, nothing. And my mum waited all day and nothing came. And eventually she got quite upset and she said to him, "Where's my birthday card? It's my birthday and you haven't given me a birthday card." He said, "I gave you one last year." She said, "Yeah, but that was last year." He said, "What does it say on it?" And she went and she dug it out of the drawer and she opened it and it says, "Happy birthday, I love you very much, love, Pat." She said, "If anything changes, I'll tell you." And when I was growing up, every year, this is an absolutely true story, when my mum comes at Christmas for the carol service, you can ask her, every year when I was growing up, on her birthday, my mum would go to the drawer, take out the same birthday card, and put it up, because she knew she wasn't going to get another one. See, my dad's not a very romantic bloke, but he loved my mum so much that he was willing to go out in the snow, and in the ice, and in the wind, and in the dark, at midnight, to drive all those miles to go and get some Kentucky Fried Chicken. How far would you be willing to go for someone you love? How far would you be willing to go? I don't know, Claire, I'm really sorry. I don't know that I'd get up at midnight and drive all that way for some Kentucky Fried Chicken. But then you don't like Kentucky Fried Chicken. But how far are you willing to go for someone you love? Jesus said that we're to love our neighbours. And our neighbours are whoever we come across day to day. And more than that, Jesus said, "I want you to go into all the world, to Judea and to Samaria and throughout the whole world, and tell people about me." How far are we as Christians willing to go to share the love of God? If we're called in our purpose statement to love the world, how far are you willing to go to tell someone about Jesus? If a family member was sat at the other end of your sofa and they weren't a Christian. Can you honestly put your hand on your heart and say, you know, I'm willing to go as far as the end of the sofa to tell someone about Jesus? Because most of us aren't. We get embarrassed and we get tongue-tied and we don't want people to think that we're foolish, and we're not willing to tell even people who are very close about Jesus. Are you willing to go to your next-door neighbor who doesn't know Jesus and who needs to know him? Are you willing to go next door and knock on the door and give them an invitation to something, to tell them about Jesus, to invite them to the God tent, to invite them to Alpha, to say, will you come to dinner? I've got something important to tell you. Are you willing to go even just next door or down the street? Are you willing to go up to the clifftop in July to help to tell people about Jesus? How far are you willing to go to fulfill the job that Jesus has given you of loving the world and showing the world how much we love them and how much God loves them? Paul was willing to go through shipwrecks. Every time Paul got on a boat, it sank. Don't travel with Paul. He wasn't very good on boats. They all sank. But he was willing to go through shipwrecks and prison and beatings and hunger and stonings and persecution and trials to tell people about Jesus. Most of us have to go through a bit of embarrassment. So let me ask you one more time, how far are you willing to go? I want you, if you will, to close your eyes. I want everyone to close their eyes. Patrick, can you close yours as well? And down the front here. Claire, nice and tight. And I want you to think of one person who you know who isn't a Christian. Just one person. It might be someone in your family. It might be a friend at school. It might be somebody you work with. It might be somebody at college or somebody in your street. It might be somebody you're in a club with. Maybe you go to Scouts or Cubs, or maybe you're in a golf club or you sail. I want you to think and get a picture in your mind of one person. Would you like them to know about Jesus? Then can you just say a prayer, just quietly now, I'm not going to leave you, just think about it and say, God, would you help me to go to that person sometime in the next couple of weeks and do something that will help them discover Jesus? It might be invite them to church. You know, in September we've got the Harvest Festival and Back to Church Sunday, and we've got lots of things going. Maybe you could bring them to that. Maybe even better, you could bring them to something at the God tent. Maybe you could just tell them straight out yourself about your faith. Let me just pray a prayer and say, God, will you help me to love that person and to show them your love and to show them something of Jesus? Father, I want to pray for every face that is in people's minds right now. Lord, you love them and you've told us to love them, and we want to ask that you'll help us to do that. And help us to tell them the greatest news that's ever been told, that Jesus is alive and God loves them, and now there's a wonderful new life for them. And give us boldness to go into all the world and share the love of God. And this we ask in Jesus' name. And let's say a big amen.
Amen.
Let's share together in the words of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore.